Yeah, my hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God he knows us. Saving.
Yeah.
I'm glad I accepted him and turned to him. I'm glad I just turned to him and let him do it. Thank God for salvation.
Sand is on the shore, sees every sparrow that falls.
He made the mountains and the seas, he's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small.
He knows my name.
Come by sometimes, just speak to you, call you out. Amen. Well, I want you to pray for a few minutes. And this morning I was wanting to start preaching on the fingerprints of God. For some reason, I can't get that preached. But I'm not going back there tonight. I'm going to go to the book of Job. Maybe another time in another place. And but anyway, glad Skylar's back. They flew her in this evening, so I appreciate it. It's good to see her. See her smile. I like to see anybody that's going to smile. But if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Job. And this morning early, I sat back here and I had been reading through the book of Job. I'd read the first 24 chapters, and this morning I read from chapter 25 to 42 and finished it up. There's something about reading the Word of God and just not stopping. It's like there's something in there that you can kindly get everything in its context and see things in a different light rather than just reading a chapter here and a chapter there just something about it. But I sat back there this morning and got some things on my mind and on my heart, and I want to talk to you about it. And we know a lot about the book of Job, and we read in the New Testament about where it talks about the patience of Job, but I don't know. I don't have patience like that. And I'm not asking for it either. I'm not asking for patience. Patience worketh tribulation, and I've seen enough of that. But anyway, we know much about Job. We know much about it, but I do want to touch on it just for a few minutes about some of the things that got him in a place. And I want to talk to you about it. Job chapter 1. And I'm gonna wind up in the latter part of it. Just kind of preach through here just a little bit. For these two statements that's made that was a great help to me this morning. But it's in chapters, I think, 28, maybe 30 or somewhere in there. I'll find them here in just a minute. And I might be telling you wrong. I am telling you wrong. It's actually chapter 38. Chapter 38 and chapters 40. I just missed it by 10 chapters both ways. But anyway, you know this story, but the Bible said that in verse 7, for the sake of time, let me back up to verse 6. The Bible said, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Every time I read that, I think of Brett. He says, don't consider me. And that's good, ain't it? I'm lining up with Brett. Listen, I don't want to be considered in some of these things. But he did. He said this, that there is none like him. That's an interesting statement, ain't it? I mean, he said, would you want to consider him? And he said, there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then here's a statement that Satan makes, and he says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He said, what's he afraid of? You're not going to do anything to him. Does he fear you for naught? I mean, you're not. Satan said, you put a hedge about him. What can happen to him? What can happen? I mean, really, he's asking him. He's asking him a question. Does he fear for nothing? No, nothing. Is he afraid of you for nothing? Is not. I mean, you know, if you've never been faced with anything, fear's not exposed. He's living it up. I can't bother him. Ain't that good news tonight? Ain't that good news that, I mean, he's still under control. He might not be in heaven, but he's still under control of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I can't stand here tonight and tell you that I know all the answers of why we have problems and why we face them. I don't have those answers. And I'm not going to pretend to. But I just want to preach to you a little bit about how God helped Job.
Amen.
That's all I can tell you. How he's going to help you, or how he's going to help me, or what he's going to do, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I just do know. They sung it up here a few minutes ago. I mean, in heaven, there's no need for the sun to shine anymore. I mean, there ain't no need for anything. My God, He's in charge of all of it. But anyway, He said, Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. He said, I mean, he fears you. I mean, what's the reason for him even fearing you with what Satan was trying to say here? Nothing can touch him. But the Lord said, Hast thou considered him? Well, you know what happens next. Now, stay with me for a few minutes. I'm not going to preach in here long. I want to go elsewhere. You know, the next thing that happens in chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible said the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, verse 16, it said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen. Now, I want you to notice something right there. Listen, this is very important. The first thing that happened when the second messenger showed up, he blamed it on God. The fire of God is fallen. He packed it off on the Lord. Now that you read that. Said the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell among the camels, and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. Now, I mean, this is a pretty bad day for Job. I mean, Lord God, all of his substance is being taken away right here all at once. And then, as bad as it is, in verse 18, it said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. The Bible said in verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now that's a big statement right there. I mean, big statement. And but I want to preach on a little bit tonight. These are things that God got Job in a place that if you read the rest of the book, I don't think Job thought he'd ever come out of. If you read it. I don't believe he ever thought that he'd come out of this place. I mean, everything has been taken away from him. Before we get to the end of it, even his strength is taken away from him. It's not long that you find out that Satan comes to him. He could not, this didn't rob Job's faith. In all of this, Job sinned not. In all of this, Job sinned not. Then the Bible said the angels came back and Satan also come with them. And the Lord asked him where he's been. Same answer, going to and fro, up and down in the earth. He asked him again, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Skin for skin, he'll curse thee." He said, "Look, you can go. You can do whatever, but save his life only." The Bible said, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. I mean, Satan poured it on him. Satan poured it on him. All he could do except to kill him. Got him to a place that he never, never dreamed of getting out of. You say you can't prove that. I believe I can. I mean, if you'll go on and you'll start reading in the book of Job, you'll find out that Job, in chapter 6, he said this. He said, "Even that it would please God to destroy me." I don't see no way out of this. All he's saying is death is my only option here. Everything is so grievous, there's nothing left. Verse 11, he said, "What is my strength that I should have hope?" What is it? I've lost everything. I can't go out here and work and get it all back. I've lost all my young'uns. I've lost everything. What is my strength that I should have hope anymore? I mean, what am I hoping for? Has no strength left. Satan had got him in a pitiful shape. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes and putting ashes over himself now. And sitting there and don't even have strength to get up anymore. I mean, he said, "What is my end that I should prolong my life?" He come to the place and said, "What's the use? Why do I want to wake up tomorrow? What's the purpose?" Now, I'm going to preach this here in a few minutes. There's answers to all of Job's questions. There's answers to all of it. But you know how that this goes. You'll find out it ain't long till Eliphaz shows up and Zophar and Bildad, and they sit there silent for 7 days, and finally Job speaks. And then they, you know, they go on and I want to say this. They have all the answers for Job. One tells them, you know, if you'll get right with God, God will prosper you and give everything back to you. But he never knew that Job was perfect and upright in the eyes of God anyway. He never did understand that. The other one over there, I believe it's Eliphaz, he said, "There's a spirit come by and I felt him come by and I seen just a little bit and he told me a few things about you." He told me what's wrong and, you know, I mean, go over and read this thing. And it ain't long, listen to me. Job got over there in chapter 13 and verse 4. In all of this, Job didn't believe it. Every report, he said, "But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are physicians of no value." See, this is a deep statement that's being made here. He said, "There's no physician on earth that can help me." Amen. He said, "You're a physician of no value." I thought of this scripture today when they took Billy out there and going to send him back home. I think Bristol's full of physicians of no value. But if you ain't careful, the church is full of them also. I'm not here to tell you I've got the answer to pull you out of every mess you're in. I'm not here as Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, and I mean telling you to get right with God. That ain't going to... You know better than that. If you've been saved and washed in the blood. Hey, the devil would like to get every one of us in a place where you're sitting and you can't even find strength to want to even wake up tomorrow again. What's the use? Job said... He finally come over in chapter 14. He said, "Man is born of a woman, few days and full of trouble. prior to the heads being taken up, even Satan gave the account, who can touch him? He's lived prosperously. You've blessed him on every hand. I mean, you've blessed him with a family. The Bible talks about that in the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. You've given him a big family. You've surrounded him. Everything is good. But Satan would love to get every one of us in a place where got no reason to go on.
Amen.
Amen. And so he tells them. And I'm going to say this. Physician ain't your help. Physicians are no value. That ain't where you're going to get your help. Eliphaz. I mean, he tells them over in Job chapter 16, he said, miserable comforters are ye. Job just lays them out. But he's still in the same situation. Chapter 17, he said, the graves are ready for me. I mean, he ain't got no hope. He said, I'd just soon die. I'm ready to get out of here. Go on. But then you'll find out, he goes over there and Job, he pretty much lays his complaint out. One place he said, oh, that I knew where he was at. That I could hear his voice. That I could feel his touch. We come over here and I'm going to get over here where I'm going to preach just for a few minutes. You'll find out that Job talks for a little while. But then there's another young fella there. And he wants to give his opinion. And he blatantly says that. He said, I've listened to all the elders. He said, that's older than my father. He said, I've watched Job sit in the gate and all of these things. I've seen Job be a leader and all of this. And he gives his opinion on the thing. But then, after he gets done, the Lord begins to speak. Now listen to this. When he gets done, when Elihu gets done, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now listen what he says about this fellow. Who is this that darkeneth counsel? And by words without knowledge. Who are these fellas here? Who are they? They don't have no light in their counsel. Their counsel is darkness. They can't help you. They can't bring you out of this. Their advice that they're giving you will not bring you out of this. But I find that there's just a few words. In fact, let me give them to you here. This is what the Lord said. Now here's what means something. It don't matter what I say. And it don't matter what nobody else says. It don't matter what the physicians say. It don't matter what the comforters say. It don't matter about, but the Lord, I mean, here is Job and he's in a place that he never thinks that he'll ever be able to get up from. You know what the Lord says? Gird up thy loins like a man.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. What for? What reason? What reason do I have to gird up my loins? Houses are gone. Animals are gone. Farms are gone and families gone. What reason? What's the purpose in it? He tells him, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Now this ain't the last time that you're going to hear this. He said, I gird them up. You've been sitting here in sackcloth and ashes. Now here's the thing. It don't matter if I say this or not. It just matters when the Lord tells you. There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason to gird up your loins. There's a reason. I mean, the Lord speaks to him for a long period of time here, and he comes over there, and in verse 7, this is what he says again. Gird up thy loins now like a man, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. You know the first declaration that Job makes in this? If you'll go over in chapter 42 and verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. I know you can do it. Eliphaz couldn't help me get up from this situation. Zophar couldn't help me get up from this situation. Bildad couldn't help me get up from this situation. All of their advice couldn't help me get up. Say, why do I need to get up and gird my loins like a man? Why? Because God's got something for you. So what does he want me to do in the shape I'm in? He's getting ready to send them fellas back over there and they need Job's help. Amen. I mean, now I ain't saying nothing bad about this, okay? I'm not saying nothing about Job's previous life because the Lord didn't. He didn't say nothing about it. But all of a sudden, the Lord's got a job for Job. Amen. God's got something for him. I mean, God's got something for Job. He said, gird yourself up. Get out of those sackcloth. Get out of those ashes. Gird yourself up like a man. For I've got a job for you. So I can't do nothing. Well, Lord God, here comes three fellas that's in worse shape than Job was. Actually, four of them. Four of them in bad shape. They just didn't know it. And all of a sudden, he tells that one, said, you better go over and see Job because, I mean, my God, you don't know nothing about me. And you better go over and get that fella to pray for you. Amen. So here he was, and he didn't have a lot of strength. He had been having it pretty rough for a long time, as far as I know. But all of a sudden, them fellas show up and said, we need you to pray for us. You know what Job was? He is girded like a man and sitting there ready for them to come. But here's the difference between Job and the rest of them. Job knew who God was.
Amen.
Job knew him. Job fellowshipped with him. Job was like everybody else, and I know if you've been saved for any length of time, you've asked the same question. There's been times in your life when you've sat there and said, where's he at?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember John Goode standing right here in his pulpit one time, and he said, I never heard the Lord's voice for 3 years. Stood right here and told that. Said those were the hardest 3 years of my life. Said, I didn't know what to do. Somebody said, what did you do? I just kept a-preaching.
Amen.
Said, I just stayed in the bean field, bean patch. Said, but it's rough. I don't know how long Job sat here. But I know what got him out. It's the voice of God.
Amen.
I mean, you know, people tell you, well, you got to get up and get at it. People can tell you everything, but when the voice of God does it, that's all that really matters. We need to hear God speak to us. We need to find out that God's got something for us. And when he speaks, it's different. I mean, I can give you advice, but I'd just be a physician of no value. I can give you my opinion like this other fella did, but it don't really matter. I can tell you what you need to do. But God can tell you what you can do. If God ever whispers to your heart, get up and gird yourself.
Amen.
Lord God, you can get up and gird yourself.
Amen.
I mean, there's just a few words that got him up. And none of them came from any of those fellas. Every one of them come from the voice of God. Gird yourself like a man. Got a job for you.
Amen.
Want you to know tonight, God's got a job for you. Hey, as far as I know, listen, Job never did go back to the old job. You got that, didn't you? Never did go back to that. Never did go back to the farming. Never did go back to all that other stuff. The Bible said his family come over there and helped him out.
Yeah.
Bible said the family come in. Each one of them gave him an earring of gold. Each one of them gave him some silver. Say, what happened? He went to work for the Lord. I don't know. He might be a praying evangelist. I don't know what he was from there. I don't know if he ever prayed more than the one time for them fellas, but it's enough to get Job up. I like this. Help me this morning. Everybody's got advice, but the Lord's got the answer. Everybody, it took 42 chapters to get Job from sackcloth and ashes to back up. God gave him his family back. Ain't that a blessing? God, he's able. You know, and he just made one confession. I think Job had it in his mind. Listen to me, and I'm going to quit here in a few minutes. I'm not going to get done, but Job had it in his mind, there's no way I'm ever getting out of this. My wife, she said, curse God and die. My youngins ain't here to help me up. These four fellers ain't no count. But he made one confession. He said, I know that thou can do anything. You know what he confessed? He said, Lord, you can get me up. You can do it. That's the only confession that he made as far as I know. He said, I don't have no strength, but the Bible said the joy of the Lord is my strength. He said, I can't do it myself, but Lord God. Job said over there in one place in Job 14, if a man die, can he live again? You know, and I've never looked at this way, but I think Job might have been talking about himself in his present state. No reason to live. Oh, he was still breathing, wasn't in the graveyard, but said, I ain't got nothing to live for. But the Lord gave him something. God picked him up. Told him, said, just go ahead and gird yourself. Get up, gird yourself like a man. Got something for you. Got something just for you. Got something I'm not going to let nobody else do but you. And I want to say this. I believe he got up and done it. I don't think he felt like it. But when God starts speaking to you, things start changing. Things start changing. He said, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Boy, ain't that something? I mean, Job he said, I don't understand. I don't understand why all this had to happen. I don't know. I don't understand. Anybody else ever ask that question? Why is this happening? Why is it happening to me? Why does it have to? Well, I can't say. I'd just be a physician of no value by trying to answer that. Other than to say this, God had a purpose in all of it. God ended up showing some folks that Job knew God. Job was a righteous man, and they needed Job to pray for them, and then God done a work in their life. And it said this, and I'm going to be done here in a minute. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, and my servant Job hath. Here's something that was revealed in all this. Job knew the Lord. And he knew the ways of the Lord. But I want to say this. There's a crowd that come to him, and everything that he was going through was because of something that Job had done according to them. But there's a scripture that is very real to me over in the book of Ezekiel, where he said something like this. He said, I sat where they sat.
Amen.
That I never did understand that scripture too much until I was over in Romania or Bulgaria, one of the two countries over there, and I'd heard them many a time talking about how it was in those countries. But I really never understood it so much until I was over there in one of those villages and it come to me and I sat where they sat. It can be explained to you, but until you're there, until you see it, until you experience it, here Job was. And them fellas had all kinds of advice, but they'd never been where Job was. But I want to say this, the Lord has. Bible said he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Bible said he is made a little lower than the angels for suffering. He knows what it is to suffer. He knew exactly what it is. He knows where you're at. And he knows how to help you.
Amen.
And I want to say this. It'll be God that does it. I would that I had the answers, but I don't. But God does. He does. He told him. This is how he helped Job. He said, gird thyself. He said, just go ahead and gird yourself like a man. Get up. And he said this. He told Eliphaz his wrath was kindled against him. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him have I accepted.
Amen.
Ain't that enough? Well, it started out. I want to talk to you just for a second about the two statements made by God about Job. Started out and he said, hast thou considered my servant Job?
Yes.
It winds up and he said, I've accepted him.
Amen.
Both, believe it or not, were compliments. He said, least I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamanite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. Now I want to say this. Boy, this is a strange ending, isn't it? It started out, Satan was going before the Lord. It winds up, Job's going before the Lord. Amen. Boy, it's a big change, isn't it? And it said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job.
Amen.
All I can tell you is listen for him. Listen for him. When he prayed for his friends, and also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Great God. Ain't that something? Now, I ain't preaching about the stuff. Preaching about the help. Sat there and read that this morning and it hit me. Hit me the statement that he made twice. The statement that got Job up when he never thought he'd get up again. The statement that got him going when he never thought he had a reason to go again. I'm going to say this, if God's got something for you, you got a reason.
Amen.
Amen. It's not our life, it is we live.
Amen.
We want to live ours, but it's better to live his. Amen. Well, I'm going to let you stand to your feet. I appreciate the Lord. And I appreciate what he done for Job. He told him, he said, just go ahead and gird yourself like a man. Got something for you. God's able. Amen. All right, I want you to remember the service Thursday, and then remember camp meeting that starts next Monday. And I meant to mention it this morning, you ladies, if for some of you would like to help during the meeting and can, we'd appreciate it. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. And pray. We really need and want the Lord to meet with us during this. Folks are just like us everywhere. They're hurting and they need some help from God. And we need God's presence. Yes.